Today on Talk About That, I injure myself and ponder when and why abs became so culturally important. Meanwhile, John makes a fashion statement on national TV and takes the Big Apple by storm. Also, we talk about being huge crybabies and why sensitivity is actually a good thing. Today's episode is not sponsored by chairs. When you get tired of taking a stand, just take a seat. Let's do it.
We found a way to make another Monday episode of Talk About That. I'm John. This is Johnny.
Yeah, like it's really hard. Like we've struggled.
It's been a hard week, you know?
No, it's not.
It's been a busy week.
Okay. But everybody has busy weeks.
Nope, just us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I fell off my bike yesterday.
When?
Yesterday.
Oh, I did not know about this.
I've got a pretty good... my knee is beat up, bro.
Oh,
it is. It is skint. And my shoulder, I've got like a hip thing. I could have really hurt myself.
From the fall.
Well, here's how it is. When you start riding, okay, you're riding your bike like a normal kid and you have your feet on the pedals. But when you want to get like into riding, you do what's called clip-ins, where you have these little cleats that you wear. And they have a little metal spur on the bottom of them that clips into this little bear trap thing that's on the pedal. And it makes your pedaling more efficient because you're pedaling the same rate.
Yeah, what if you have to put your foot down?
Well, that's where it gets tricky. What you do is it's like a snowboarder. You click out of it. You twist your heel to the right or to the far left if it's your left foot. And then it pops out. It kind of opens the little spring-loaded bear trap thing on your
calling it a bear trap.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It really does. But it's like a tiny bear trap for a tiny, tiny bear. And the most adorable bear that you've caught. Anyway, what happens, though, is you get riding. And like if you know, I'm going to come to a stop here at this stop sign, you can know, like, I'll click one of my feet out and plant my, you know, right foot or left foot. And I'm used to it. But when you start to fall, your instinct is just to pull your foot off the pedal. And you can't pull your foot off the pedal unless you click out. And so now you have, like, no time to protect yourself from just, like, falling. So that's what happened. I got off the path a little bit, and then my little road bike, like, got caught in the rut, and I just started falling. And I couldn't click out in time, and I just, like, it was almost where you land and you're in motion, so you just, you skid.
You just laid it down. With you on it.
Oh, yeah. And then I tried to jump up really, because by then you come unclicked because you've fallen. And I tried to jump up and do the whole Pee Wee Herman dust myself off. I meant to do that. You know, you get the adrenaline, the embarrassment adrenaline of like just.
Yeah.
And I was bleeding profusely from my knee. And
Oh, man.
I'm just glad I didn't, you know, it could have been worse. But the bike, I've been on the bike so much lately. And so I've gotten used to it. And I'm pretty good at clipping in and out. But when you start to fall, Your fight or flight just takes over. If you just go, I'll just pull my foot off this pedal. Mm-mm. No, you're not doing that.
It's got to be a bad split second feeling.
It is a bad feeling. And part of it's just like, this is getting ready to be embarrassing. Like, I also am worried about hurting myself, but I don't know. I wasn't going super fast. I don't ride super fast, but it was one of those things. But the other experience I had on the bike the other day was, bugs just come at you full speed. Like, I ride about 15 miles an hour, so it's not slow.
Yeah.
So when I get going really fast down a hill, like, and a bug just comes, every now and again a bug will just come and hit you dead on, like a missile.
Mm-hmm.
This bug hit me in the ear, and it felt like it landed on my ear.
Mm.
And I go, and I smack at it, because I think this thing is still on my ear. And this black thing went flying end over end into this field as I'm riding. And I'm like, what the heck bug was that, right?
It was your headphones. That's got to be.
And then I realized I'm only hearing the right side of my song. So now I got to go find this earbud that I have knocked off my ear thinking it was. I thought, oh my gosh, these locusts.
It's the plague.
It is. Revelation is real, you know. And I'm running. I'm looking in this field. And what's funny is, you know how I found it? Because I thought, I'll never find this, right? It's a high grass.
You heard it.
No. Once I got close to it, my earbuds go, earbuds joined. Because they rejoined.
Wow.
And I knew that I was within like 500 feet or whatever of it. So I just kind of like,
wow.
I scrolled, you know, I scoured the perimeter or whatever you do. So I found that, but yeah, so anyway, I've had some mishaps. Biking is not for the faint of heart, John.
Well, the reason I know that you've flicked your headphones off is I've done that.
You have?
Like, and it'll be in my sermon tomorrow, I get attacked by these, like, biting flies sometimes when I'm running. Mainly when I've stopped running, because I'll run my 3 or 4, whatever, I'll run, and then I walk another couple. It's kind of my thing, my prayer time and everything. And I'm in, like, this serene, I have this place, this is my spot, you know, on the road. Very few cars come, all those kinds of things. And then, man, in the summer, though,
yeah,
I'll just get attacked. And so it completely
like
ruins.
Horse flies. They bite you.
They're like biting flies. I'm not sure if they're horse flies, but they will just like...
You're not an entomologist is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, I don't know what they are. I don't have time to stop. But I'll look like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like I'm just flailing. And I'll have to take off running again to get away from them. So
which they can fly, so that's not generally the best.
They have the advantage on this.
They do.
But I've flicked at my head before and knocked my headphones, my hat, or whatever I have, like all off. And then you're now reaching down the middle of the road and they're attacking you. It's not pretty. But I know the...
But listen, that's the price we pay for health, right?
Oh,
that's,
my goodness. I'm a picture of health. So I'm actually not a picture of health.
That
right
guy
now.
Flailing on the ground is in great shape.
Look at his tries.
What do you do for your core?
Just this.
When did core become a thing? Like, you remember, you know, like, people never talked about their core when I was a kid.
No, it was abs. That's what you call
but
it.
But even abs wasn't a thing. Like, you would see these old Clint Eastwood movies, right, where he's like... Punch, he's having that big. Remember the Clint Eastwood movies where he'd have like the 20-minute fist fight with the guy?
Yeah.
And he's shirtless. Clint Eastwood was like he was manhood to me. Like he was like, oh, look at this guy. He didn't have abs. He just had like a flat stomach.
Yeah.
Like somewhere along the line, a flat stomach was not enough.
It's not enough.
It's and then now it's like the holy grail of like whatever, you know, manhood is abs. You got to have abs. And I don't understand. Because you really have to, like, starve yourself almost to get abs. And you can't keep them long. Like, you have to, like, dehydrate yourself, in essence.
Wow. I have a feeling that some listeners are disagreeing with you. Like, you're saying this from the perspective of two guys who've never had that.
No, but I'm saying, like, this is something I know, this is true. This is somebody on Instagram that I saw that I follow. Because I watch this show called Heels, which I'm not recommending the show. It's not a sponsor, but it's about wrestling, okay? Well, the guy that's on Heels, he plays one of the... They own this like independent wrestling company, right? That's the whole drama of the show. And so the guy that's on it was in a show called Arrow, which is like a superhero show, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know who the guy was, but he played Arrow. I'm going to mess that up too, but that's who he was. So evidently in that, he looks like a comic book superhero. He's got abs. He's got the outfit. He's got the whatever. And in this show, he's a little bit like beefier. He's got like... He's very muscular, but he's just... So he's got like a photo shoot, or he posted a photo on Instagram, like, I'm ready for the season finale of blah, blah, blah. People are like killing him. What happened to the abs from Arrow, dude? What's going on? And they're killing him. And finally he was like, he had to post another post. It was like, look, I could go on like a 36-hour cleanse right now and have abs, like more than what I had in Arrow. He goes, like, I'm stronger than I've ever been. Like he had to like shout these people down. But he was like, this is what you do in Hollywood to get that look. You have to like dehydrate yourself and starve yourself for like 72 hours. And obviously you train with trainers and all this stuff. But it's
I
like,
try it.
Well, I mean, look, John, you could do it.
I don't think it would work for me.
I don't think you can't stay on keto for a week.
You'd have to dehydrate yourself for like 2 weeks is what you'd say.
Well, it's not just about dehydrating. You have to like, there has to be no fat in front of
all dehydration.
But I'm saying like to get that last pop of the abs, like you have to be like empty.
What do you do to get the first pop? Like that's
well, you got to put the Pringles can down. Two guys talking about abs that will never ever have abs.
No, well, it could be like, remember, I think the movie 300 really brought this more into like,
and again, that was
below.
A lot of that was very like was lighting and effects and whatever.
Didn't they
like,
add
I'm not
the
saying
abs?
Did they? Maybe.
I think so.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is like that guy in that movie is a beefy guy. Like, what's his name? Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big guy, but he's not necessarily a cut guy.
Right.
In his other roles. So that was something he probably had to like nonstop train.
I heard that those were like added. Like, they.
Oh, maybe they were.
They.
I heard they added like I know they added soldiers. Like they recreated the big battle scenes. There's like that's a copy and paste of whoever. That's
well,
how they did
these 300
big
of them.
Look,
if you can't get 300 cut guys, I'll put out a casting call.
Look, I would just...
I get those casting calls. They're like,
hey,
I'm the before picture. If you're still this guy, do the 72-hour fast.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry about your fall.
I'm going to be fine. I'm just glad I'm not hurt because I'm actually trying to get into running again. I've started running to try to get back to where I can do. And I'm going to do a 5K race on the 11th. You should do it with me.
Is this the one in Lebanon?
Yeah. It's called like Running Lights or...
Run for Lebanon.
Leberun. Anyway, it's a nighttime. And you get a hoodie, John. So that's...
I do like hoodies.
And it's raised money for CASA, which we're... That's a big...
Oh, wow. Is it really?
Yeah. Which causes what court appointed
special advocates.
Yeah. So that's a local charity that is very near and dear to our church.
Well, I did run 50 miles in September to raise money.
50 miles?
Yeah, in September.
Oh, in the month.
Yeah, to raise
but
money
that's
for
great.
The witness in honor of the anniversary of the walk on Selma. So I like running for causes, is what I'm saying.
Well, then we got to do it. Just something we could do together.
October when?
November 11th.
Oh.
That's a bad day for you.
I can tell you right now. 11-11, it's just no good.
You're already busy.
It's, no, we'll look into it.
Well, you just got back from your whirlwind book appearance.
Yeah.
On GMA.
One who's not, speaking of not being fit. So
we
like,
call it GMA to the uninitiated.
GMA. It's technically GMA 3, but.
Oh, is it?
It's called GMA 3. So I was on Good Morning America.
Yes.
The third hour.
Okay.
And it was great.
I don't know anything. Like, I don't know enough to know, like, that's... You make that distinction, but I don't...
It I only
like,
make
to
the
me,
distinction...
It's Good Morning America.
I only made that distinction because I learned about the distinction...
Yeah.
...on, like, Friday before we left.
Okay.
So, I had made the assumption, which here's the deal. It was Good Morning America, and I'm not going to lie. It was an amazing experience. So, this really doesn't matter. It's just an interesting thing. So... GMA 3, and when they booked it, they're like, you've been asked, man. We've been saying there's a big show, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
This was it. Good Morning America, and it was such a huge deal. Reggie and I were on there in studio live in New York, and when they booked us, they said, you've been booked for Good Morning America, their third hour.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of the lines, they call it GMA 3. I thought, okay, well, they have GMA 1, GMA 2, GMA 3, just for the hour you're in. It's probably different producers, different
right.
segments, all those things. And I think that the assumption for me was... that the third hour of GMA would happen in the third hour
right.
of Good Morning America. And then I found out GMA actually happened, it airs at 1 p.m. Eastern.
GMA 3 does.
Right. So Good Morning.
It's not a morning anymore.
America is not in the morning.
Good Afternoon, so America.
It's good Afternoon, America is what we
GAA were
kind of,
or GAA.
Gah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it does. It,
that's the sound you made when you found out that you weren't.
No, I mean, actually, I mean, it was great. I didn't have to get up as early, but.
You don't have to deal with Strahan.
Oh, that guy.
Who needs that?
No one likes Michael Strahan. No, the host's name were TJ and Amy, and they were amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, the interview was so good.
Oh, thanks, man.
I mean, I don't think it could have gone better.
No, I mean,
unless I had done it.
Right. It would have been.
You needed me coaching you there.
It was, dude, it was weird. I got up, you know, my wife and daughter went, and I was probably about four blocks away from its Times Square,
mm-hmm.
right there in the middle
I've
of
heard
Times
of
Square.
It. I've heard of Times
yeah,
Square.
Yeah, maybe you heard of it. And so, yeah, like walking to Times Square to do the interview, and I got there a little early, and Reggie came from his hotel, and it was just, it was in a, it was a very surreal experience.
They it had to be.
They were so nice. So nice. Everybody. I mean, all the crew and everybody. And the stressor, obviously, the biggest stressor of it was taking the COVID test.
Yeah.
You know, just like,
because you fail that thing. You don't want to get no D on that thing.
Nope. So.
They'll send you right home.
I did have a Michael Scott moment, though, because they text you the results. You had to sign up and all this HIPAA stuff, you know. And it was like, your test results are negative. And for a second.
Right.
I was like, negative.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Negative is positive.
Yeah, positive. But.
Yeah, it's like, somebody had a joke about that, about how, like, when they're in a library, they freak, or when they're in a bookstore, they freak out because they're like, all right, I want. Fiction is not true. And nonfiction is not true. Like, it feels like those should be reversed, right? Like, fiction should be the real thing, and then nonfiction should be fake. Like, nonfiction, I made this up. Fiction, it's like, not true. It just feels like it's too much. And this is language. Like, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, it does. When you get those results, you're like, negative's good, right? Okay.
I don't.
Well, so, what's funny is I took this at-home test before I went to Cancun, right? Uh-huh, and uh-huh. It was one of those like over-the-counter $30 things just to like peace of mind before right. I got on a plane. It wasn't required, just required to come back. So I didn't want to bring a positive test over there. So we take our test, we get our negative results, I feel okay, and then I'm sweating it the whole week that I'm not going to test, you know, have an asymptomatic case that didn't present in Cancun.
Right.
So we get our negative test to come home. Guess what I got the other day in email? Walmart.com, where we got the tests, and said, we're recalling these tests.
Oh, no.
Because they're completely faulty, evidently. So the brand that I bought are complete junk.
Were you getting false positives or false negatives?
They said the reason they do is because people were getting false positives.
So you dodged two bullets.
Yeah, because if I'd gotten
a negative,
if I'd gotten a false positive, I probably would have gone and gotten a whatever,
right.
The real test. I had a couple of days left, but it would have definitely like spiraled me.
Yeah,
you got a whole week vacation riding.
Well,
on
we
it.
Took two tests with us, and I was going to take one that night before or the morning of. And I just decided, what's the point?
Right.
If it comes back positive, I'm going to freak out all night. I'm still going to walk to GMA tomorrow, and I'm still going to try, you know what I'm saying, to get on.
You're going to try to get one past them and give the entire crew COVID.
No, I just...
That's happening right now with Ben Simmons, by the way. I don't know if you don't know NBA very well, but there's a player named Ben Simmons, right?
Yeah.
So
Sixers?
Sixers.
All right,
and in the playoffs, he had a terrible playoffs, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of known as a guy who doesn't like to shoot. So, and he's kind of scared of the moment. That's kind of the new rep on him. Is he passed up like a dunk to like pass in late in the game. So they lose the series to Atlanta, who's not as good of a team, a less talented team. In the press conference, Joel Embiid, who's their big center, like throws him under the bus. I was like, yeah, we made some key errors. And it seemed like we were whatever. And so this whole offseason, Ben Simmons is refusing to play for them. Well, now these stories are coming out. And one of the stories, oddly enough, is about COVID because there was a masseuse who was in the building who works for the Sixers organization before that playoff game. And the story is, I'm just piecing this together because I heard pieces of it on talk radio yesterday. And they were saying that he came out and said, yes, I may have been exposed to COVID if she came up positive. And the players were using that against him, saying, like, if he really wanted to play in the game, he wouldn't have come forward and said that. He would have hid it at all costs. So they're saying, like, that makes him less of a gamer.
Because he didn't hide.
Because he didn't, like, because he basically he was looking for a reason. He's like, well, maybe I have COVID. But nobody really knows, like, what's the responsible thing versus what's right. the being a gamer? And it's like, it's such a weird time in our culture we're living in right now.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't... My,
so tell me about how you wanted to manipulate the system.
The only reason I would have still gone is because there was a chance it would have been a false positive.
Exactly. I understand what you mean.
And I would have expected another, let them
John.
Test me as well
right.
and see what it is.
And then you'll take the most, whatever result you want.
Whichever result helps me do the interview. No, it was, they were great.
It's like you throw out the high and the low.
Although I was expecting them to go jabbing it up in my brain, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like right on the edge.
Yeah.
And Reggie was like,
I just hand them a booger. I just go, look, see what you can get out of this.
Hey, let's.
You know, I think that's. That's
I don't understand
just
why.
Good.
Why can't I just spit on a towel or something? Like, you know what I'm saying? And y'all just. What are you.
It's like, we need some DNA on this. Hey, I've got crystallized DNA. Just have it this.
We know Reggie did the NBA bubble last
yes.
year. And he spoke. He was there for like a week. And he said they tested him, like, I think two times a day, maybe.
They test him and send him to the room. On one floor where you wait to see how the test is going to go,
right.
and then they move you to the secure room.
But he still had to be tested daily
yeah.
when you're inside the bubble. Mm-hmm. And he said, God, he saw them doing me first, he was like, whoa, is that all you guys are doing? And she said, we have to test people so often, they've changed our policy. She said, this is actually not the most accurate. Most
yeah.
accurate is to jab it up in there. But our crew has to get it tested so much.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really cool. But man, it really turned out. It's like an 8-minute interview. So
yeah.
If you guys haven't seen it, I mean, I'm very, very.
You've shared it on your socials. I've shared it. I think. I mean, it's yeah. We need to share it to the Talk About That Facebook page if we haven't.
Yeah, we need to.
because, yeah.
Reggie was amazing. I mean, Reggie and TJ, you know, really shared a lot of their common experiences as black men in America. There was some really cool moments. I mean, honestly, the hosts were in tears. I mean, it's some things that you don't always expect.
Yeah.
But them being friends were having a sort of a parallel common experience to me and Reggie being friends of he's
right.
sharing things with her that she didn't know about his
experiences. The look on her face. Yes, you know, this is somebody she's a co-anchor with, and she's like, yeah. Wow. Like she was having the same moment. So it was kind of something you can't really script. It was such a cool thing.
Yeah. They had given me this is the behind the scenes. They had, were building a slide basically or some graphics.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, hey, you know, so a couple days before I had to memorize these four things that are from the book.
Right.
Because I knew that they were going to put them on the screen. Like
oh,
that.
Right. It's like a TED talk.
And it was like, oh man. So like, you know, 3 days going in, instead of just being able, cause we practiced and kind of knew, and we've done a lot of interviews lately, long form interviews, short form are just so different, man, to get it right. And I was like, oh man, don't. So I had made a mnemonic device out of it. So, or
was
is that an acronym? It was actually Alps.
Okay.
You know, go climb the Alps mountains. I don't know. So, but it was, it worked out. I didn't forget.
Yeah.
And it was fun. We read, I mean, it was so kind. And the lots of the crew came to us afterwards and were very like, just, hey, thank you so much. Like, you know, it seemed like it was just a great experience for all of them. So thanks. Hey, thanks to GMA and ABC. I mean, it was really a great experience and they were great hosts. We had a great time.
Yeah, I was proud of you. And, you know, then I had dinner with our pastor, Andrew. I was at a planning meeting for him with him for a fundraiser that we're getting ready to do in November.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the interview, and all he could talk about was the fact that you wore a hoodie under a blazer. And he was like, what is John doing? And I was like, oh, because you're the paragon of fashion,
oh,
pastor.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I've seen people do. I've never seen somebody wear a hoodie under a suit coat. I go, well, you know, he goes, who? I go, I'm Gary. That's probably something Laura did, but I mean, it looked good. I thought it was cool. And he was like, I don't know. I couldn't get over
Andrew.
It. And I go, dude, this is friggin' Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Like, I thought it looked cool, John.
Do you want to
know? And I want to go on record as saying, like, I thought it looked fine.
Do you want to know where that came from?
No.
So we should tweet this picture. I will send you a picture. That came from
somebody. Are you going to send me a picture of someone else cool who did it?
Oh,
so
very
you're proving
cool.
That it's cool. Okay,
but you'll be it'll be a full circle when I tell you who.
Okay,
Michael Strahan.
Okay, well there you go.
It actually comes from Michael Strahan's Men's Warehouse clothing line. That's one of the outfits
he wears. A hoodie.
And I saw that. I was like, it was my idea. I was like, that looks cool. I like that. And I know Michael Strahan is on GMA.
Right.
So this would fit.
So like, I'll be as cool as Michael Strahan.
Well, my wife and I had a lot of those talks. She's like, you know, you don't.
You know you can't get away with what Michael Strahan can
get
away with.
You are not going to
look the same. You've not earned what he's earned.
You're not. I think what she said was he's a lot taller.
Oh, that's diplomatic. That's
the
very
only
diplomatic
thing.
Yeah.
The only difference between me and Michael Strahan is that he's a little taller.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, listen, I stand by it. Here's the thing.
You've only got two less Super Bowl rings than him.
Only two. I knew that they were going to put minister, you know, as one of the things on the screen. And quite honestly, I knew I needed to be a little dressier.
Right, the idea of being a suit and tie.
Like just
a
guy with
stiff.
No tie, even in just a shirt. I just thought, you know, not that it really matters that much,
uh-huh.
but I thought, I don't know. I don't want to look the part as the prototypical bald pastor, you know, up there. Like, I just, even though that's what
you
I am.
You look like a guy who wore a hoodie into the studio and they said, sir, you need a jacket. And they hand you a jacket.
That's exactly what happened. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it's like, so we can't seat you unless you're going to. This is
what is the reservation under? Because we're not seeing this.
Here, jab this up your nose.
Yeah.
The weird part is you come in the side door,
and
security guards take you back, and this producer met us, and I went into the largest elevator I've ever been in my life.
Okay.
The elevator had to be 20 feet high.
Mm. It was a Wonka-vator.
15 feet wide. And so I don't know what all they bring in there, but she said before COVID, she's like, you wouldn't believe the things when this door opens that we've seen on this elevator.
Yeah.
Like apparently someone had a huge snake one time and
just
things that they bring on the show probably, you know, wildlife. But that was a striking thing. I walk in, I was like, hey, y'all should think about getting a big elevator, you know, so.
I was watching the other segments, and it was interesting, all the things on the show leading up to you. Did you watch any other things?
Yeah, cause we were in the green room.
Because it was like Girls' Day or whatever. Which these holidays.
Day of the Girl.
So funny, yeah. Day of the Girl. So they had a whole thing about like women getting into non-traditional workplaces.
See, it was also Indigenous Peoples Day because it was traditionally Columbus Day. Yeah, that day. And I was interested that they were focusing on the Day of the Girl. I don't know how they decide.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how they – yeah, either. Maybe they thought, well, this will be different if we do this. Because it's like every day is like some special day for like – it's like 100 days now. They just try to – it's also the day of – it's Purple Day.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I don't – what's that do?
I think Alicia Silverstone was on there after us.
Okay.
For a movie or
– some new show.
And I remember Sadie, who was with us, what was funny is because the other – I forget her name. The other – because that's the name I recognized – the other actress, I named it. So I was like, oh, who? Like, it was someone she recognized from, like,
Alicia Silverstone, she didn't know as well.
Gen Z kind of thing. But
she didn't, she'd never seen Clueless? Come on. That's way before, her time.
You know what? She's seen Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Which is in that same kind of generation of movies,
yeah,
I think. A little after Clueless, mm-hmm. I think. But, Clueless is,
Paul Rudd was in Clueless, too. That was, like, his start. And he's not aged since. Like, Paul Rudd still looks the same as when he played a high schooler, which is really bizarre and odd.
Was Paul Rudd the college romantic interest in Clueless?
I don't remember the movie very well, honestly.
She falls in love with at the very end?
I think he's the gay character
in
Clueless. If I'm totally wrong and people are going to be screaming
at their... I don't think so. I thought he was the... Johnny, there's no way to know.
We need a producer so much.
This is super important.
It's fun. It's not. It's probably not important.
Yeah, so. No, it was great, man. And then we went ahead and spent... I had another interview on Wednesday that was online.
Yeah.
Turns out Reggie had to leave. They actually wanted us in studio after we did GMA, but we didn't get to. And you don't have a clip yet to share of that, but it was a network called Cheddar News.
Okay.
Which is a financial thing, but they do all kinds of segments. They have a thing called... All Hands Race Towards Inclusion segment. So we did a pretty good interview on that. It was like 6 minutes.
Bro, you're making the rounds.
Well, no, I've done two. So.
This is a whirlwind for you.
Well, we decided, because it was Sadie's fall break, just to hang out in New York. And that, so we stayed up through all the way through Friday. And, dude, what an adventure. I had to do a lot of emails and different stuff just for the release and all throughout the week. But we were just on the
run.
Bro,
you can't hide money. I get it. You're like, hey, we're here.
No, I have hidden money. It's gone.
Let's drop a few grand in the most expensive city in the world.
This was not... Well, I will say this. I did splurge on one thing.
I know.
And...
Are you going to tell the listeners?
I'm going to tell the listeners.
Yeah.
Because Laura and I decided...
Because you're a brag. You're essentially... This is a brag.
This is not a brag. This is a... There's a philosophy.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a philosophy of parenting, and I've said this before. Like, I don't believe my daughter will recall everything.
Yeah.
But I know she'll recall experiences that we can have together.
She'll remember what you said, but she'll remember how you made her feel. Is that the Maya Angelou?
Yeah. And it's a, like, if I look back, Dad took us on vacations.
Yeah.
That was his thing. He worked so hard, but when we would go, you know, looking back, I mean, they were what they were, what he could afford.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a lot. Like, I know, because we'd all take friends and, mm-hmm. you know, and he would really...
I never had that. I never had, like, the friend that I could just, like, go to the beach with them and their family.
Yeah.
I needed that. I never had the boat family in my life.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
We should have been friends as kids.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
I would have come to the beach with you
guys. You would have gone to Gulf Shores, Alabama every year with us.
That would have been great.
A lot of it was our whole church would end up going, a lot of the church families and friends. But Dad, I think, instilled in us that...
Pay for experiences, you know.
Yeah. And so we pay.
And then you're total, like, cheapskate on everything else. Right. How much are those volleyball uniforms? This is an outrage.
Well, we just...
But we're going to see you too, sweetie.
We knew it was, like, the one time her fall break would align with me having to be in New York for business. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's 13. And so, dude, I bought Hamilton tickets.
I can't believe you got them. You always hear about... Because Broadway's only been back, like, a few weeks.
Yeah, I got him like probably a month out.
This is total black market buy, right? This is like a total...
Oh, I met a guy in an alley. It was unbelievable. So we love Hamilton.
Yeah.
We've watched it on Disney Plus. We've listened to the soundtrack all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of know it, and I read you know, I love the book Hamilton, so that it's based on. And so I kind of thought, okay, well, I already know all this. You know, this is going to be fun. It's not the original cast, you know, all those things. This is going to be, you know, what it was. Johnny, it surpassed it exceeded all my expectations.
Yeah.
Like I cried.
Yeah.
At several of the, and I already know the story. It was so much richer. We were, by the way.
Did Sadie cry or was she like, pull it together, Dad?
We're
in New York.
I asked her afterwards, like, did you cry? And she said, no, I held it together. Like it was a, like that she knew she wanted to cry, but she didn't.
She was like, when I saw you over there sniveling like a.
They were just streaming tears.
You're falling apart.
I didn't bawl.
I was like, I don't.
I don't know this guy. It was.
I held it together.
Gosh, it was so. It was so good.
I am such a softie, though. I cried the drop of a hat.
You would cry at Hamilton.
Yeah.
There's like three songs in particular because the whole thing is music in Hamilton, basically, because it's rapping and everything else. But like almost all the dialogue happens in song, and I think watching them say it, reading their lips as they do it, it felt slower. Because it's so fast, it's so fast, but it felt slower in person, and you really saw that character development. But I mean, it's been out forever if you haven't seen it. But I mean, you know, there's just a few scenes where they lose people, other stuff where it's like, wow. And it was so that was amazing. We saw Lion King as well. She'd never seen Lion King.
Yeah, it's
so
great
too.
We saw
Lion King Broadway, and that was amazing. And then, man, we became Subway.
You're in Central Park.
Yeah, Central Park.
You got stabbed.
It was
what
a
else?
Blast.
The whole New York experience.
We really loved it.
You overpaid for parking. No, y'all didn't have a car, did you?
Didn't have a car. No,
did. That's good stuff.
Public transportation. We did, I guess we did Uber from the airport, but then we were doing cabs by the end.
Yeah.
Which basically are the same now. I think that they have regulated that.
Yeah,
where,
it's a whole thing.
Where Uber can't put the taxi industry out of business and all that. But, I did some great restaurants. I mean, it was just, and often we would go walking and be looking for the Subway and we would come up across other things. And so the best thing was the last day we did the cruise out to the Statue of Liberty, had walked up into the base, explored the Liberty Island, then took the ship over to Ellis Island, which, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's totally.
That's the one that really did make me tear up.
Yeah.
Because I was on the Staten Island Ferry when we came by it. Mm-hmm. But just him talking about it and like the whole, I set my lamp at the golden door. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I do. It makes me emotional to think about it.
Yeah.
The idea of what America was set out to be.
Yeah.
Like whether we've fallen short or not. And we are very critical of America at times on this podcast. But I love America and I get emotional about the idea of America.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's certainly a purity to what they were, a logistical nightmare, but a purity to the intent. And certainly everything wasn't done, I'm sure. I think 2% of people were turned away. And there's all kinds of antiquated, you know, modernism. You can't judge things in the past exclusively upon present day standards. But there were also like, I read one thing and because basically they turned the whole thing into, it's totally restored. And a lot of it's original, and you get to kind of walk through the process of what an immigrant would have walked through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures and video and artifacts and things in all these different rooms that you're in the room where this happened,
you know,
where they would test you for this and that. And I think it was maybe the children's, of course, there's many, many buildings on there, but maybe the children's hospital or one of those places, they had to post for the nurses, don't kiss the children.
Hmm.
And one of them said that lets you know the feeling of what these many of the people working in Ellis Island were trying to do to love these people.
Right.
Like they had to tell them because of
transmittable diseases, yeah.
Right. That you can't kiss the kids, but they wanted to. So there was a lot of affection there. And I'm sure there's a lot, we also saw a lot of things where it wasn't all affectionate, but because, you know, that's the thing. You set out to do good things. That's a huge part of our book. You set out to do good things, and we judge so much in our lives by intent. Certainly as a pastor, I've struggled with that over the years where someone would come to me when I was a youth pastor and say, you know, my kid's struggling here. And I was so offended because my intent was all good.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamar Tisby in his last book says, you know, when you're evaluating whether or not there's elements of racism in systems, intent really doesn't matter as much as impact. You can kind of get over that. you can kind of get over that insult a little bit of it. Hey, regardless of what has been intended, you know, what is the downstream effect? Same thing with Acts chapter 6 and the distribution of food to the Greek and Hebrew speaking widows. There was not an intent, I think, for the people who were going to start a food distribution program to hurt anybody. But the impact was that there was discrimination against the Greek speaking widows. And so, like, sort of getting over that, hey, my intent isn't, I think in modern culture, intent's everything. Mm-hmm. Like, how many arguments with my wife are, you know, I didn't mean that like that.
Or
you know?
Even our apologies are laced with that. I'm sorry if you were offended.
Right.
You're almost saying, like, I'm sorry if you're so weak that you would have been offended by that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you cried at Hamilton, Dad. Pull it together.
See, I don't mind Sadie seeing her dad cry.
Oh, man, I'm such a softie. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I love it. I just, to me, it's like, it signals to me that I'm on the right track, honestly. Yeah. Like, if I can still be moved, sometimes I go, God, I'm like their target demographic. I'm so, like a Kodak commercial or whatever in the old days would make me cry or whatever car commercial.
Yeah.
You go, oh, no, this isn't good. But then sometimes I'm like, yeah, I want to care about things. Like, if I ever get so callous that I can't be moved, I think that's a marker of something, some trouble, maybe.
Oh, I agree. I think that there needs to be tension, emotion. There needs to be nuance happening. Yeah. I need to be struggling with what I'm facing in life. If I'm not in some sort of
struggle. Even if I know, because I'm a cynical guy, but even if I know as the commercial's happening, like, all right, this one's going to get me, like, I can't stop it. There's one, I think, when we talked around the show, there's one that comes out around Christmas time. It came out last Christmas, and it was during COVID, and so it was this whole thing of
the note.
No, not the note one. This is when the guy gets up every day, and he's working out in the shed.
Yeah.
And his wife's kind of looking, the neighbor's kind of looking at him like, what in the world? And every day, and then he starts doing this kettlebell, and he's holding the kettlebell out front. He's doing, like, the thing where you lift it, you hoist it up in front of you. Yeah. And you're like, what's he doing? And then, you know, the neighbor lady keeps walking by, giving him the side eye. And then it shows like 5 or 6 times him doing that. And then it shows him, he gets in this car of this other woman, and they go to her house. And then he hoists the daughter up, or the granddaughter up, to put the star on the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh. And I know it's coming, but I'm like, you fall apart. You're like,
yeah.
What in the world? So I'm easy, but I don't know. Like the first 10 minutes of Up, like, are you doing to me?
Yeah.
It's just all of it. So anyway, so you had the Golden Door, you had the Statue of Liberty, and then you had your moment where you were talking about, not to cut you off, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. We were, Ellis Island. Yeah. It was just that again. And I'm sure many people did not have positive experiences as well, but there was a process.
They were
trying to bring people into the country. And then there's so much of a background too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, potato famine in Ireland. There's really disturbing parts about especially anti-Asian legislation because of Chinese immigrants taking jobs away from American workers. And that was one of the first times we actually excluded a nationality of people from getting jobs. It's you know, there's a lot of black eyes on you know, the history there of things, but and there's nuance and complexity to all that. But getting to walk through that with Sadie and talk about those things and see those things was an amazing experience. So then we came back,
right?
And we were down in the financial district, and we're trying to find our train back. And I need to.
You feel very at home in the financial district, I'm sure. You're like, oh, this is where I belong.
Oh, absolutely.
You just are screaming into the void at the stock exchange. And then my favorite part is at the end of the day when they all throw all their papers down. And it's like, who's going to pick all this up? Like, there's all these papers. You're like, what's going on? But they still have all that? Remember the ones that used to be just papers and screaming? Is that, maybe it's all done on computers
now.
I don't know.
I don't belong there. I did walk past a Bentley, and I was like, Sadie, that's probably, what, a $200,000 car we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then you realize how much I don't belong, you know, here. But, and so there was never a question, by the way, but that just
Well, the guy inside
me.
The Bentley may be like, I am so over my head in debt. Like, you know, there's no guarantee just because he had a Bentley.
He's watching me walk by. He's like, right. God, if I could just be that guy.
Look how free he looks.
I saw him on GMA this morning.
Then he thinks, why is he wearing a hoodie with a suit coat? What a loser.
Why is he crying? But we were walking up, and I need to take this moment to make some public announcements.
Okay.
One, my wife is a saint.
Oh, boy.
And she had to put up with a lot.
Yes.
And she took care of us. We kind of threw this trip together because she is underwater at work, and I'm underwater at work, and we just, like, hopped a plane. And we had some plans, and you know, there was a moment she finally took over navigating, you know, or because my phone wasn't working, hashtag T-Mobile, correctly.
Boy. And not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. And so hers is T-Mobile as well, but it's a newer phone or a newer version. I don't know. So I still have the button, the SE. I like the button. But deal with it.
I'm know, all about the SE.
But we would then compete for navigational supremacy at times. And the truth is, I'm just a big jerk.
This is why we don't go on vacation together. Yeah. Maybe I don't want to go to Gulf Shores with your family.
Not if it was a nightmare.
Not if it's like this.
And so she and I are trying to find the right train, and I look up, and we're in front of Trinity Church, one of the oldest churches in America. And then I find a sign that says the train we're looking for is down the block, down the side of Trinity Church. As we're walking down, it's sort of like this incline, and Trinity Church is above. It's elevated. Sandy goes, "Dad!" And I look up.
She's being mugged.
And we are staring. We're about 6 feet away through the fence. We're looking at Alexander Hamilton's grave.
What?
She found Alexander Hamilton's grave. And it was...
Accidentally.
And this is two trips in a row like this.
Yeah.
That she has found. Because we were in Washington, D.C. We were wandering through National Cathedral, she and I. And she stumbled upon Woodrow Wilson's grave. The lesser-known musical was written about him.
Right, he didn't get a rap musical.
No, it wasn't rap at all.
She's got the nose for it. You need to put her on Oak Island.
She'll find something. Yeah. It was so much fun though, but we had a great time, and it was a huge adventure and a big week. And thanks to everybody who ordered the book. And we just appreciate everybody being so supportive. We got a lot of good messages and other things from you guys.
There's still time. We need that first couple of weeks bump for you. So notsoblackandwhitebook.com and leave a review and all that good stuff. Once you get the book and you're a confirmed purchase, you can leave a review. That helps people find the book and it helps. Clout is such a dumb word, but there is a thing to be said for, like, certain people look at those things as far as, like, will I buy this book? It used to be the Oprah sticker. Remember when you were on the Oprah Book Club? Like, that sticker would be worth whatever. Like, it's really about getting this book to the right, into the right hands. It's not even about, like, oh, let's sell a million copies. It's about, like, you want it to go as far as it can. So, you know, you've worked hard on it, so it's okay to promote.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think this is important.
Yeah.
And I write a lot of things. I think this is important. And a lot of things I've written are important, but this is important. And I think that it'll be eye-opening for whomever reads it. And if you have already got it, for real, verified purchase, the reviews, this is going to go out on Monday, like that first week, so Tuesday marks the first week. Yeah, if you have it, go write a review today.
Do it, guys. For us. Yeah. And, you know, we'll pay you for that review if we need to.
If you're listening, FFA or FAA or I don't know what organization.
CCC?
TCB. FCC,
TCBY? Remember that? That's not a thing anymore.
Is
the country's best yogurt?
I don't know. If you're listening, WWE.
Yeah, dude, that would be. If they're listening, that'd be something.
We're just kidding. We're not paying for reviews.
Nobody pays for reviews. No, well, some people may. We don't.
Somebody might have.
Because we're broke.
We're going to be.
Because John spent all his money in New York on Hamilton tickets.
It was worth it. It was worth it. It was, I'm glad we were able to, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'll be borrowing from you later. So,
that's fine. I bought your lunch today.
Thank you for that.
That's not nothing.
No, it was something.
So here's an experience that I had. I know we're running out of time today, but this is a cool experience I had. So I do these shows sometimes at churches, and you don't know what you're kind of walking into. But it's always fun. It's always an adventure, and I love what I do so much. And post-COVID, I'm really kind of even more trying to appreciate it more and smell the roses more. But this church in Illinois had me in to do a fundraiser for their missions trip on Saturday night, and they want me to stay over and do their Sunday services.
Yeah.
And I've done that before, and I was like, sure, I can do that. And, you know, I have a background in preaching ministry. I can do it. And so they... I go in. They had a female pastor. This is a Church of God, but Anderson. So like Anderson in Anderson,
Indiana.
Indiana. Mm-hmm. Say Indiana, not Illinois. I said Illinois. So Anderson, Indiana is a whole different church. So they have, they're egalitarian, which I'm all on board with. Oh, cool, it's great. And I grew up with female ministers around me, so I love it. And so she was super sweet, and the people there were so great. And so I get up to speak, and I do my thing, and I'm kind of nervous because I did 60 minutes of comedy the night before, and now I've got to do like some comedy that I didn't do the night before, because it's a lot of the same people, and then I got to weave it into a message. So I'm kind—I don't do that a lot enough to be like really polished at it. So right. I'm trying to like get out everything I want to say, and I have these new ideas on which I talked to you about some of them I wanted to talk about, and you were like, "I like this," and I go, "Yeah, but it's not done yet, and it has to be done in 3 days." So I felt like it went fine, and they were really happy with it. But then we're talking after, and I noticed on their bulletin, and I sent you their website snippet.
Yeah.
They have a Creole service.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the world? I was so fascinated by that, because I think of Indiana as just like the whitest white that ever did right. white. And I'm thinking, how many Creole people are here that you're doing a Creole service in Vincennes, Indiana?
Yeah.
Well, she starts telling me the story, because I'm asking one of the other pastors, and they're like, yeah. I said, and they're getting ready for that service. So these two Haitian guys are there in suits, like decked out, and they're getting ready to start their service. And they're just waiting around for the other people to arrive. And so that's like a 12:30 p.m. service. And I go, yeah, and they're saying, yeah, here's how it worked. We started planting this church 12 years ago. There's a factory here, and they get a lot of their workers from Haiti. And it's like a textile or something.
Yeah.
And so she said, we started realizing this is a really unreached people group. They're here and they're totally like, they don't have any like community at all. And so we started inviting them to church, but they speak Creole. It's like this whole thing. So we started doing this thing where we translate our message into Creole, and then the guy gets up and delivers. So they're all getting the same message.
Wow.
And then as she's saying it, she realizes, oh no, we didn't prepare the thing today. Like, and now we can't give the guy the translated your jokes.
Right. They're not going to.
Like, it's not. Is it, even if you could, even if they had thought to do it.
But they couldn't
like,
be culturally appropriate.
We don't know if it's going to work.
Right.
And they just didn't think to do it because they run like this little translator thing that they have an app for. And wow. then they just like spits it out and on paper. And the guy goes up with these papers
wow.
and gives it like a speech, basically. And I'm like, oh no, I've made a problem. Like, I'm a problem now. And they're laughing and they go, so they're like trying to panic and he's standing there waiting and he's like 500 feet from me. And I'm like, what's he going to do? And then I'm like packing up to leave and go home.
Wow.
But I'm like, I've left this mess in this church because I came in and did jokes and they have to translate him into Creole. She said what they ended up doing, I think, was they went and found an older sermon, like one of the greatest hits from 3 years ago or something, and had him do that. So they printed off an oldie.
Wow.
They dusted off
Couldn't
an oldie.
Couldn't they just done your sermon minus the jokes?
I don't know. And again, that would have been a lot of pressure on this guy because it's just different. Maybe he's used to delivering her style because she almost always exclusively preaches.
Yeah.
So it's very rare for them to have a guest speaker, which is a whole other thing. When you get invited in to do somebody's church and they hand you their pulpit, it's a big honor.
Yeah.
And I take it very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't come in and be like, I'm the new guy. I'm going to say what I want.
Yeah.
So I try to be very, like, you know, diplomatic with what I say. Even if it's something I like, this is really how I feel. I'm going to be myself. But also I'm like, this isn't the time for this.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't earn the gravitas with these people like she has.
Wow.
So it was kind of interesting. But I just thought, what a weird, like, who else, what other comedian has a story like that? They had to hurriedly try to translate my jokes into Creole and realize, well, this is a fraught with problems and we're not going to do it. So they last minute decided not to.
I love that they're reaching
yeah,
that
it's so cool.
Group.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I just thought what an interesting, yeah. what a cool church.
Wow.
So, yeah. the what's funny is they're called Thursday Church. They started having like an alternative service on Thursday and they have branded their whole church around it. So they have a Thursday church. I almost mentioned it in the show because Thursday church, they had me come in on a Saturday and do their Sunday service because they also have a Sunday service. That's like a, you know, just as an option.
That's great.
But Thursday's their like main service. It's yeah. like a Thursday night
it's
service.
Good afternoon, America.
It is. It's good afternoon. Yeah. I did GMA3.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's awesome, man.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to work up a Creole set. That's what I'll do. I'll work it up next time I come in. I'll have a couple of jokes in Creole. Billy Crystal did that back in the day. He did a thing called Midnight Train to Moscow, I think, where it was a comedy special he did in Russia.
Wow.
And it was in the middle of, like, the Gorbachev era, perestroika, and there's, like, the Cold War was ending. And so, or maybe it already had, the wall had already come down, so it was like this. But still, there's fraught tension, and he's the American comic. And I remember he did the first like 5 minutes of his special in Russian because it was a Russian audience who also was bilingual.
Wow.
But he wanted out of respect to do, so he learned some jokes in Russian. So I remember watching this as a kid on like Showtime or HBO and thinking like, wow, what a historic, remarkable thing. And then one of the things he did that was so fascinating, one of the first jokes he did in English was he talked about how a lot of the Cold War he blamed on bad translators. Because he goes, these translators, they're setting the course for this dialogue. And so if they decide to like ramp it up, it's going to create huge national waves, international waves. He goes, you know, when Khrushchev banged his shoe on the podium and said, we will bury you. That's not what he said. He said, these are not my shoes. And it got a just gigantic laugh. It's like this huge release valve. I remember thinking as a kid, what a funny, like, remarkable. I knew how big it was even at the moment as a kid. But I need to learn some. I need to learn another language is what I'm saying. I need to be more international.
Dude, the apps are all there for you, man.
I know. Babel. Yeah. Which that feels a little bit weird. Yeah. That one is like, all right, let's build the Tower of Babel.
I'm
not a good.
I'm not down for that.
God was anti-Babel, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I did. It's so funny. It's such a preacher thing. I did when I walked into New York, thought, I wonder how tall the Tower of Babel was as compared to some of these buildings
right.
I'm looking at. Like, I had that sort of, like, moment
mm-hmm.
of trying to compare. Not because I thought, they have built under them a Babylon. Like, I did not think that or something. But just, like, out of curiosity, when the ancients thought they could build unto the heavens, I wonder how close to Rockefeller Center mm-hmm. they got, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder how high. So, in our hotel, by the way, we were on the top floor, 32nd floor.
What?
Our hotel. Yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you, you had the time.
It was fun. It was fun.
32nd floor.
Yeah.
Well, la di da.
Look at me. I think it was totally random. So, but.
Yeah, I'm sure. Totally random. The fact that you had a butler, too.
What? It was a 4 points by
Can
Sheraton.
Can you believe that I accidentally got this room, Jeeves?
Could you please go turn on the hot tub? No, they're not big rooms in New York, as you know.
No,
so
no, they're
big
tiny.
Hallways, like everything. Yeah, but it was great. So a good time. But and you know what, listener, we hope you've had a good time today.
Being a tourist in our city.
Oh my goodness,
our fair metropolis.
This is coming out on a Monday, but we're going to be discussing next week how Johnny's huge show at Zany's.
It's too late to get tickets, so thanks
we
for
can't
nothing. But
announce it now. But
no, it's fine.
If you could go back in time, buy tickets.
You can
show.
At least send a note and say, I meant to be there, but I forgot.
Yeah, here's a donation.
I didn't see the many promoted ads that would have been forced into my feed.
No, we can't wait to talk about it. I know it's going to go great. We're very excited about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. So, hey, go check out our website, though.
Talk about that podcast.com.
Are you sure?
I'm getting confused with not so black and white. Not so talk about that book. podcast.com.
Not so talk.
Yeah. Not so talk. No, talk about that podcast.com where you can see 170 mm-hmm. plus archived
We're
episodes.
We're 181, I think.
181, now. So yeah. Over 180. So do that and share it. It helps people find the show if you leave a review, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, it means a lot. Send us your questions, your topics. We always appreciate those. Occasionally they get read. You know, on the air. They always get red. Occasionally get red on the air.
Maybe you fell off your bike and you want to tell your story.
Yeah.
You have a testimony.
Mm. Yeah.
We've all fallen off our bike.
Haven't we, though?
It's like our lives. Sometimes it's an actual bike and it hurts your actual knee a lot.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us a few minutes this morning. And we'll see you next week on Talk About That.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.